An observation I wanted to make on the JonBenet Ramsey case, the murder case that happened back in 1996, December, is that the murder happened, according to the timeline, between Christmas night, the December 25th, and December 26th, 1996. And it happened overnight. The child was put to bed, according to the official timeline and the official interviews and descriptions of what happened by the parents and everyone involved. And the child was put to bed by 10:30, I believe it was, and before dawn the next morning, the child was no longer alive. So that clearly tells you that the murder happened that night between 10:30 and about 3 to 4 a.m. the next morning. So that's about a 5-hour span for the crime to have occurred. And the cause of death was both strangulation and blunt trauma to the head. And one observation I have is that if there was a blunt trauma, which many experts have agreed it took significant force to cause such damage to the skull, there would have been a very loud noise, very unusual loud noise. If this trauma was done while the child was still alive, there would have been probably a scream, probably some sort of noise from the child, and this would have likely, or at least there's a possibility that this would have woke up someone in the household, whether one parent, both parents, her brother, or all three. Remember, it was overnight, the middle of the night, so the house was apparently quiet, other than just the noise from air conditioning or the heating system, which those are usually quiet, especially such a big home like the Ramsey home at the time. So it begs the question, what happened to the noise? Did the noise not cause someone to awake and find out what's going on, especially concerned parents as the Ramseys claimed to be? Did the assailant, supposed assailant, risk making noise, having a scream from the child, and risk being discovered, risk the whole operation going awry? And this is quite unusual and bizarre to think that any assailant, obviously clearly a very adept and determined individual that got away, if you happen to side with the assailant theory, it's quite unusual and unlikely to me that he or she would risk making such noise and such ruckus in the middle of the night, again risking discovery and all kinds of problems and perhaps death, you know, to more people or to themselves, to her, himself, or to themselves if it was more than one assailant. So that's one observation I'd like to make. The same thing would apply to the theory of strangulation. First, strangulation is never, hardly ever, no, I wouldn't say never, but you know, it's unusual, I would say unusual and unlikely that there would not be a struggle, and even from a child, and a risking of discovery through that struggle. So for an assailant to do such thing in the middle of the night, I believe to be quite risky and somewhat unlikely. Although I must say that I believe there was duct tape in the child's mouth. I believe that there may have been duct tape put on the child's mouth before any other action was taken to prevent any kind of noise. However, even with a mouth shut with tape, you can make considerable noise to the point where you can clearly wake someone up, especially a parent that's not too far from where you are. So I find the intruder theory quite unlikely, although I'm yet to be convinced that the parents were the likely suspects in the murder. However, I do think that it's more likely one or both parents may have killed the child in a bout of rage and perhaps accidentally rather than having done it for any other reason. Thank you very much.